Hi, this is Alex Roman, Managing Editor for Metro Magazine, and welcome to Metrospectives, a podcast about public transportation, the private motor coach industry, and all things mobility. My guest today is the RTC of Southern Nevada CEO, MJ Maynard. MJ joins me to discuss the measures the agency has taken to protect riders and employees, how they are continuing to serve their community throughout the pandemic, and its work with the ADA community. Now, here's my talk with MJ. So the CEO of the RTC of Southern Nevada recently wrote a blog for us, and I'd like to welcome MJ Maynard today to discuss some of those points that she discussed, and as well, some things going on at the agency. MJ, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks, Alex. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And you know, I mean, getting right to it, with some of the things that the RTC was done, I was wondering if you could kind of talk a little bit about some of the things you've done to protect the riders and your employees, as well as, you know, maybe map out a timeline of how quickly you guys were able to kind of implement these changes and you know, get everybody, you know, safe and secure.
That is a great question. You know, I always say we're in the people business. You know, we're not Amazon. We're not moving packages. We're actually moving people. And because of that, we have to be very sensitive to all aspects of their traveling experience. I mean, we have to consider their experience on the bus, at the bus stop, at our transit terminals. And so we have to make sure that we're treating our passengers with the same care and consideration that we would for our own family. And that's, I think, how we think here at the RTC. And so with the pandemic, it was about mobilizing very quickly, just like you would do for the folks that you love at home. And we looked to keep them safe. We were ahead of the game in some respect because we had installed driver enclosures back in 2016 as an effort to protect the drivers from any kind of violence. And so keeping the drivers safe, we were able to sort of retrofit, extend those enclosures out to be full enclosures for our drivers. And that that was something that we could do day one. And that was very, very helpful. We are also, I think we have a wonderful janitorial contractor who, believe it or not, a month before the pandemic hit, he was looking at buying electrostatic sprayers. And those are very, very helpful. They use hospital grade disinfectant. And when you spray the interior of a bus, it actually sticks to the entire surface without having to go all the way around, let's say the pole in the bus itself. So we were ahead there. In those two circumstances, we were kind of ahead of the game. But then like everybody else, social distancing, that was new to us. But we worked very diligently with our employees and with our partners to ensure that there was proper signage on our vehicles to discourage folks sitting right next to each other. At all of our buildings, there's signage throughout that's, you know, stand here 6 feet. There's another circle, stand there. We limit the number of folks that are able to be in our transit center at any one time. So I think we're doing a lot of the things that everybody else is doing, but I do know there were, aside from the cleaning, the disinfectant of the buses and the driver enclosures, we had that in place almost before the pandemic hit.
Yeah, interesting that you they thought of the electric static sprayers ahead of the time.
I agree. I asked him where his glass ball is. And I'll tell you, to date, we have 1,700 frontline employees, and to date, we've only had about 13 reported cases of COVID-19 of folks that have been infected with the virus. So I think those enhanced cleaning measures are really working.
Yeah, well, that's great. You know, I know that all of transit kind of universally across the board was hit pretty hard with the pandemic. Can you kind of give us a snapshot of the region today? And in particular, I guess, interested in, you know, the most popular area of Las Vegas would be the Strip.
Yeah, I'll tell you. So we are, I think in 2008 here in Las Vegas, we thought this was the worst thing that could have happened to our region. You know, we're one of the least diversified cities in the United States. Hospitality is our economic engine. And so certainly having hospitality, which is all about conventions and crowds coming to Las Vegas, we've seen a marked decrease, of course, in that. So to put in, put this into perspective, during the Great Recession, we lost 196,000 jobs over the course of 2.5 years. In just 2 months of this year, in April and May, we lost 280,000 jobs, many of which are in the resort corridor, known as the Las Vegas Strip. We certainly know that transit is an essential service, that it has to continue to operate by transport of those essential workers. So we have had Wi-Fi in our vehicle since 2016, and we survey our customers every month. Different questions, more of a quality assurance check. And we surveyed our passengers at the outset of this pandemic, and we realized that 70% of those that are taking transit to work every single day includes that we're not only taking to their hotel job, we're also taking them to healthcare, food services, grocery stores. And so, you know, you can't talk about keeping the supply chain running without transit helping to get those people to work, particularly in the resort corridor, because that is the biggest employer here in Southern Nevada. And while the hotels, for the most part, the occupancy has remained low, those employees that are fortunate to still have jobs here in Southern Nevada, we have service that runs 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, to get those employees to their hotel jobs, morning, evening, and then, of course, the graveyard shift. What's hard to fathom is that our local economists recently reported that over 300,000 Nevadans have experienced food insufficiency often or in the past 2 weeks, and nearly 80% used their stimulus money to pay for expenses such as food, utilities, and car payments. So we've really, here in Southern Nevada, I think, as we were one of the last cities to come out of the recession, I think we'll be one of the last cities to recover from this pandemic. So it's been very tough. We know there's an increased demand for services in our community that includes transportation. It's something that we're dealing with every single day.
Right. And the Strip is seeing some bounce back currently. I know it's going to take a while for conventions to come back, but as far as tourism goes, there are some people coming still to town, right?
There are. So during the week, I've been told occupancy is at about 30%, and many hotels have reopened. But certainly not enough to keep people employed. I'm sure certainly here locally, we know that the MGM just laid off 18,000 more employees, not all of them from Las Vegas, but the majority of them from Las Vegas. We just saw another spike in unemployment benefits here by 15% just this week. So we rely on events that, again, lots of people, whether it's sporting events, it's concerts, it's sweaty pool parties, it's closeness. We are the antithesis of social distancing here in Las Vegas. And until people feel comfortable getting close to it, just flying in and getting close to folks, we're going to struggle a bit here. And I think, according to our local economist, it may take another 24 to 36 months for Las Vegas to recover fully.
Wow. And, you know, I think, you know, one of the things that It unfortunately has been underreported, although maybe not in the regions where it's occurring, but transit has really stepped up and been a service to the communities they serve, you know, outside of just transportation. And I know you guys had a partnership with, is it Three Mile, Three Square?
Three Square, yeah.
Yeah, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, they are such a great, that is our local food bank. And I'll tell you, it was really great to hear. And talking to the drivers, you know, when the pandemic hit, I think like everybody else, it was very dark. It just felt like the world was coming to an end. And everyone was so afraid. Drivers were being placed on furlough or being laid off. And because paratransit service decreased so much, obviously, I think about at the height of the pandemic, 70% decline in paratransit trips. So we had excess capacity. We had extra vehicles and extra drivers. And so we decided to use some of the CARES Act money and partner with the food bank, it's a win-win, keep the drivers employed, and then partner with the food bank to deliver. We delivered over 3,500 meals to seniors in low-income communities. And again, the seniors, their lives were enhanced. They felt appreciated and they felt like somebody cared for them. And the drivers really felt as if they were giving back to the community at a time when I think we all wanted to come together and figure out how do we go forward.
Right. And I know that, you know, you guys also have over the years looked at different ways to approach mobility in the region. And I know there's great kind of spaces that you guys need to fill. You know, with the pandemic, I mean, is that kind of changing the way you're providing trips? And you know, how do you think that'll force you to make further changes in some of the things you experiment with from a mobility standpoint?
You know, I think most, if not all, transit agencies, we're still trying to determine what normal looks like in light of this pandemic. Certainly, enhanced cleaning standards, that's not going away. And I think that's maybe a silver lining of this pandemic. I think it's good for our business. It's good for our customers. How long social distancing lasts, I don't think anyone knows that. I suppose until maybe there's a vaccine or a vaccine that the people trust. But I don't think you can talk about the pandemic and how it relates to mobility without talking about the financial pandemic that's been caused by this health pandemic. And I think every transit agency is looking at if we maintain some of the standards that are in place right now, that's really taking a hit to our budget without additional federal funding. And it's something we're going to have to look at closely. And I think like many transit agencies, we're also facing service reductions. And certainly here in Las Vegas, we're going to be reducing our transit service by close to 8% by the end of this calendar year. And this is the time that we have to make sure that those folks that are reliant on transit, that there's equity involved. And so we're really focused on ensuring that the same level of transit service is still available throughout our service area, but particularly those that have no other mobility options.
Right. And some of those cuts you're looking at, you know, are you trying to use limited resources and still cover the same area, or are you guys actually looking at having to cut some service out of areas?
I think we this year we're looking at cutting what we consider nice to have rather than a must have. And so, for example, we're cutting a couple of our express routes that service our park and ride. We're really trying to understand the needs of the community. Again, those folks that do not have access to a car, we know that here in Southern Nevada, 176,000 folks have no access to a vehicle. So it's looking at the demographics of our customer base to ensure that, again, it's equitable and that the focus is, again, on those that need us most.
Right. And you know, APTA put out a call for funding. You know, how do you feel as far as the possibility of transit attaining more funding? And, you know, do you feel like there's an inroads right now with the support from the first CARES Act?
Well, what a wacky political world we're living in right now. I don't know if things have come to a halt right now until we get through this election. I know that there's a disconnect. Certainly, the Democrats have put forth the HEROES Act. The Republicans came out with the HEALS Act, and one is certainly more beneficial to public transit agencies than the other. So I think there's a lot of unknown right now. And I would imagine, Alex, if you asked other CEOs, what does the future of federal funding look like right now? I think there might be a pause, just based on the fact that we are coming up to a major election. We're still in the throes of the pandemic. A vaccine has not been found. We may not figure out what a federal funding package could look like, aside from just what the appropriations that happen every year. Right. So, in reading and staying in touch with the transit industry, I think most CEOs are looking at, unfortunately, having to make significant cuts in service. And I would imagine that we're all looking at the customer base to ensure that it's equitable, right? That the folks that, again, that need us just for the basics of life, whether it's getting to work, getting to a grocery store, those we have to make sure that we massage our reduction very, very thoughtfully. With those folks in mind.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, maybe technologically and other ways, you know, is the RTC kind of looking at other ways to fill the gaps and other ways to kind of do more with less, kind of the old adage?
So technology, I don't know if you know, Alex, is our middle name. RTCST, technology. It's something that we embrace. We embrace for a number of reasons. One, we find technology initiatives, whether it's an on-demand partnership with Lyft. It's an on-demand partnership with Tango, which provides on-demand service for folks in wheelchair.
Right.
It's about improving the quality of life, the customer experience, but also saving money. So our paratransit on-demand service that we have in place, we've saved over $1 million since 2008, since it's been in place. We're even looking at, and I failed to mention this, we were talking about sort of how we're keeping our buses very sanitized. It's great that we're doing this and that we know that we're doing this, but it really doesn't, it doesn't have the same significance unless our customers know we're doing this. And so we are going to be using technology to inform our customers the last time the bus was sanitized.
Oh,
and
great.
It will be done on board the passenger displays, the LED display that every bus has. That will be in place by the end of the year. And then I've told you about the electrostatic sprayers that we have in place. Uh-huh. Again, that's something that we're looking at. We're working with our vendor Conduit to, again, by the end of the year, we'll have in place for the ability for customers to, in real time, either through the mobile app or online, know how many passengers are on board a vehicle. This is all about safety numbers. We want the customer to be able to take control of their own destiny. If they want to get on the vehicle based on the information they have, they can, or they can wait for the next bus. And then we are going to be going forward. Every vehicle that we buy will have a microbacterial surface that's applied to seats and all the other high touch areas that will keep the virus. It doesn't have a chance to live on this surface. So it's going to keep our customers safe. And then we still have our toe dipped in the AV, the autonomous vehicle pool. We were recipients of the BUILD grant, and as such, we are we'll have it. It's a 4-year process, so in a couple of years, we'll have an autonomous vehicle shuttle running here in downtown Las Vegas. So that's important for us to, even in this pandemic, to stay focused on the here, but also what the future looks like. And if we don't position ourselves for the future, we will be unable to meet the mobility needs and desires of our customers going forward. So always very, very interested in how we can use technology to be more efficient, to save money, and to enhance the customer experience, and to also understand what the future of mobility looks like, autonomous vehicles, that sort of thing.
Great. Yeah. And maybe the last thing, and I know you guys have been kind of out in front with ADA, and you guys put it together a nice blog video series of some of the stories. Can you talk about RTC's work, and in particular, you know, the travel training center and that sort of thing, and how you guys have been able to work with that community?
I'm so happy you saw our blog story on that. I'm very proud of the team that puts that together. That one actually brought tears to my eyes, because I think that is probably one of the most heartfelt things that we do as an agency, is helping our customers that are disabled, or they just don't have the ability to drive on their own. And so we have something called the MTC, or the Mobility Training Center. It actually won an innovation award through APTA a couple of years ago. Really proud of this facility. It's one of a kind in the United States. We're able to, folks that want to ride paratransit have to be certified. They come there for their certification. So functional assessments are done there. We also, it has two live buses, working buses inside the facility. It has a cityscape, all the different grades that a person may travel out in the environment in determining whether they can ride fixed route or if they need paratransit services. And then we also, this is sort of the jewel in our cap. We have a partnership with an organization called Angela's House. And it is an actual house that is built inside of our facility. And it's a place for visually impaired individuals over the age of 18 that if they find themselves suddenly without sight, or they find themselves over the age of 18 and still without sight, because there's usually no resources for folks over the age of 18 for that kind of independent living training, they come to Angela's House, and it's in a kitchen, and they'll learn how to cook independently, do their laundry. It's a sight to see. So we're just really proud of it. It is, again, we're able to do multiple functions under one roof, and I always encourage anyone, if they come to Las Vegas, to stop by and take a look at it.
Yeah, that sounds great. Well, thanks a bunch for your time, MJ. I really appreciate the conversation.
Thanks, Alex, for having me.
Thanks for listening to Metrospectives, a podcast from Metro Magazine. Be sure to check out all the latest industry news at metromagazine.com or follow us on Twitter at MetroMagTweet.